So the generosity is selfishness, is stinginess. See, when I start thinking of my money is only mine and my time is only mine, I no longer acknowledge the fact that I'm a son of the living God and that my life was bought at a price. See, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I agreed to let Him be the Lord and leader of my life. You guys have all seen movies of kings and kingdoms, knights and that whole thing. The king was the king over everything. The people worked for the king. They tended his fields. They shepherd his flocks. They basically keep his things in order. That's what I'm required to do for Jesus. Again, I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, and I asked Him to be my Lord. So I am accountable for tending to His property. The great news about God's property is it's everything in heaven and on earth. So for those of you who may be new in your faith journey or have not entered your faith journey, you might ask, why would I want somebody to be the Lord of my life? Being Lord over somebody, that sounds like a bad thing. A couple of reasons. Number one, I want their protection. I want to be part of His kingdom. I want to be part of something. See, in God's kingdom, my needs are met. I also have a promise of an eternal future with Him. I also have the promise of unconditional love. I believe that nothing I can get is a result of my awesome power or ability. It's a benefit of how my Creator made me. Without His divine influence in my life, I would not and could not have any ability to do anything, nor could I move. Acts 17:28 says this, "For in Him, Him being Jesus, we live and move and exist." So the very fact that there is a God, and He did send His Son Jesus, I have the ability to get things and to give things. Sorry, pages are stuck together. Now, if you don't believe in God, then it's possible you don't believe that He created you. I'm okay with that. But consider this. Consider the complexity of the body. Consider the earth and the laws of nature. This is an important statement. Perfect order is not a process created by randomness. Let that sink in. Evolution will tell you that it was an accident, it was random. But perfect order does not come from randomness. So those are my thoughts about generosity, but how does that matter to all of us? Well, let me ask you this. How good does it feel when somebody does something for you and they don't expect anything in return? I can tell you that it feels real good. Some of you heard me speak a couple months ago. You know my daughter, my five-year-old daughter I just showed. She stabbed a wooden dowel in the back of her throat, and it pierced her throat, and it actually missed her artery that runs up to her head by just a couple millimeters. There's a whole long story, and I'd love to tell you about that. But Mrs. Hart, who's the children's pastor over at the church across the street, she gave her generosity towards us during that time was abundant. She came to our house when it happened, which happened at night, right at bedtime. It was a Saturday night, so the next day was a Sunday, which meant that she had ministry duties that she had to attend to, but she didn't bat an eye. She said, "I'll be right there." She came over. We went to the hospital. And also the next day after church, she had gone to the grocery store to buy us, bags and bags of popsicles and things that Savannah could eat, yogurt, Jell-O. The love that she poured out on us was abundant. And she didn't ask for anything in return. So I can tell you from a personal perspective, I felt so loved because of that. We love it when people are generous because it makes us feel so loved, like I said. And it doesn't matter if we know the person or not. In fact, acts of random kindness to unexpected people can often cause a people to feel loved in a way that they had never felt loved before. It can change a person's whole day. It can also change a person's whole life. To feel that you're loved by someone that you don't have to do anything to earn their love is an awesome feeling. See, we're called to be generous. God wants us to be a blessing because He's blessed us to... God wants us to be a blessing because He's given us so much. We're supposed to be a blessing to others. Why does He do that? Why does He want us to be a blessing to others? Because He wants to show His amazing love for people. God is so amazing because he chooses to partner with his people to show his love. Think about how amazing that is. We being so imperfect. The God that created the heavens and the earth, everything that you can see, partners with us. He will use you to show his love. So why does God do that? Because God is searching for people who are fully committed to him and are willing to sacrifice their will for his. So I ask you, what are you looking for in life? Are you looking to have success? Or are you looking for significance? Are you looking to have wealth? Or are you looking for, to have generosity? Are you more interested in status? Or do you want relationship? See, generosity will require sacrifice. I talked about sacrifice a few months ago. Some of you might have been here. Sacrifice is a word that people don't like because usually it involves effort and sometimes pain. Mother Teresa, you guys familiar with Mother Teresa? I might be dating myself. Some people know who she is. She was a nun who gave up everything that she had to go to Calcutta, India to take care of the orphans that were in the streets there. She said this, "If you give what you do not need, it isn't giving." I'll say that one more time. If you give what you do not need, it isn't giving. Let me give you an example. How many people know what Goodwill is? Yeah, thrift store or whatever that they have. They have a collection facility over by Wegmans, over by the mall. I give to them mostly because I don't want to throw the stuff away. So usually it's a collection of stuff that the kids don't wear anymore or that I'm going to throw out anyhow. So I'm giving to Goodwill. But I'm not giving out of generosity. I'm giving out of abundance. So that's the difference. If we only give out of abundance, there is no heart decision that must be made. To put it more clearly, if we never give generously of our money, of our time, and of our talents, then we never give ourselves the opportunity to trust that God will provide all my needs. I truly feel that generosity must come from a heart that trusts God for all our needs. Now, don't get me wrong. I struggle with this. But I know that my journey in Christ should evolve with trusting Jesus more, as should yours. Some of you may be blessed with an abundance of faith. Others, like myself, gain faith through experiences of exercising that faith. Trusting Jesus more and more moves me closer to the generous standard I want to be in. Now, C.S. Lewis, who knows who C.S. Lewis is? They wrote the Narnia books. At least you've seen the movies, Narnia, and the whole series. He wrote this. He says, "I do not believe that one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid that the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare." See, the world's view of generosity is very different than God's view. We know people, all of us know people who we might consider to be generous. So how can someone who doesn't believe in God or considers himself a non-Christian be generous? Because people who are generous without a heart changed by God are giving for some other reason. There's some other motive. It makes them feel good. They're in it for fame. Or they're looking for something in return. I think that it's obvious in politics that this goes on. The politicians, one of the big things that comes out when politicians are running for election is how much they gave to charity, right? That's a number that gets put out there. Oh, he gives 15% to charity. People like to see that. So a lot of times they're generous because it gets them something later. It gets them people's votes. It gets them popularity. There's actually a whole group of people called lobbyists. Hopefully some of you guys have gone through some kind of social studies and government, etc. So lobbyists, their whole purpose is to get an elected official to vote for something that's beneficial for their company. So they can give gifts. They can take them on elaborate vacations. So they're being generous, but they're looking for something in return. So the difference in the generosity that Christians and non-Christians give is simply a matter of motive. The generosity that we, those who are followers of Christ, are called to give is one that does not expect anything in return. For a person who doesn't believe in God, that the kind of generosity doesn't make sense, and they wonder why. Why are there no strings attached? Why can that person be generous to me and expect nothing? See, generosity and giving are heart issues. We are generous when we trust that Jesus will meet all our needs. We can be generous because we trust that His love is for us. So let's look at a story from the Bible and see what Jesus thought about generosity. We're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. So those of you that don't know anything about the Bible, the four Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark wrote his Gospel mainly to reach the Roman people. Unlike the other three Gospels, Mark left out all the genealogy of Christ, or basically the family line of Christ, because the Romans didn't really care about that. All the Romans wanted to know was what Jesus did. So that's what Mark is all about. It's all about God's act. So I'm going to read Mark 12, 41 through 44. If you put it up. So Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on." A couple things about this story that stand out to me. Can you imagine what the people thought when Jesus, who a lot of people believed was the Messiah, came into the temple and kind of just plopped himself down in front of the offering plate? Think about this if you go to church here. If Pastor Randy or Pastor Jeremiah were to actually hold the offering plate on Sunday morning and actually stand there and watch people as they give. They didn't write checks back then. They actually had to give money so they could see what they're giving. How many of us would begin to give more or give just to try to impress Pastor Jeremiah or Pastor Randy? This poor widow woman comes in and gives two coins. Can you imagine being that woman and have to follow the people that were giving like stacks of money, like bills? All she has is like, let's just call it two pennies. It's actually worth less than two pennies. Can you imagine what the people before her and after her thought? If they're anything like me, they were probably thinking, "Oh, I'm a lot better Christian than she is. Look how much that I'm giving compared to her." The great news is Jesus is not impressed with giving out of abundance. He's impressed with offering all we have to Him. See, all you have is good enough for Him. He doesn't require more than you can give. Isn't that awesome? He does not require more than you can give. The world is constantly demanding for more of us. Jesus simply asks that we give Him all we have, because He can work miracles to make all we have enough for anything. Jesus knew this widow had given all the money she had to live on. So He's like, "Hey, disciples, come over here." He's like, "Did you see what she just did?" And I can imagine that the disciples were talking amongst themselves in the corner and not really paying attention to what's going on. So He got to explain. He's like, "You see that woman?" And they're like, "Yeah, we saw her." A couple of them were telling jokes back and forth, and He had to slap them around to get their attention. But He's like, "That woman just gave everything she had to live on. And her offering is worth more than the rest of those guys." For those 12 disciples, it must have been a very enlightening discussion. Because they're probably like what I would thought. Oh, all those people that give a lot of money, they must be great Christians. They're giving lots of money. But if we're giving out of our abundance, then it's not really being generous. This woman is a reflection of how God gave to us and how we are supposed to give. You see, God was generous when He offered us all He had, because out of His unending love, He gave us Jesus, knowing that we were in need. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, and then willingly gave all He had by being brutally murdered on a cross, so we might be reconnected to the Father. Only through Jesus can that happen. Jesus' love for us stirred His generosity to give something that only He could give: His perfect life as a sacrifice and replacement for our sin. You see, without His generosity, we would have to try to earn salvation on our own. And we can't. How great is it that we don't have to? We simply have to ask Jesus to be the Lord of our life and confess our sins to Him. Jesus said this in Acts 20:35. He said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." So it's better. You It's better for you and better for your heart to give than to get. And Jesus himself demonstrated that sacrificial love for us. That sacrificial love is the generosity that we are called to have, and more importantly, share with a lost and dying world around us. Hey, Jeremiah, can you give me a bottle of water? Thanks. Sorry about that interruption. So how about you guys? How do you activate generosity? What does that mean? Generosity should be the result of recognizing and accepting Jesus Christ's perfect love for you and placing your complete trust in him. I know that some of you are not yet in a place where you have placed your trust in him. In fact, some of you right now are feeling a tightness in your chest. Your heart is racing as you hear me speaking about trusting God. Because you know people in this world are untrustworthy. You have been hurt and lied to. So regardless of what you think, God is trustworthy. I challenge you to see how trustworthy he is. Now, that trust that I'm talking about doesn't usually happen in one moment in time. For some it may. For others, it happens as we grow in faith and in trusting God. So as I discussed earlier, we love it when someone does an act of generosity to us that we are not expecting and are expecting nothing in return. Nice, that's generous. Thank you. What's that? I don't have to pay for it. Nice. That's generous. Was it self-serving? Did you do it for a reason? All right. Sorry for that interruption. So that trust that I'm talking about doesn't happen in a moment in time. It happens over an experience and a growth as we grow in faith and begin to learn to trust God. We love it when someone does something unexpected to us. That's good. And they don't expect anything back. It makes us feel loved. You guys know what I'm talking about, because I'm sure something in your life has happened that somebody has blessed you, and you just, like, the feeling that you feel is so good. And you know they don't want anything from you. I hope that sometimes when you guys come into this room that you guys get something, like, from the worship team, knowing that they don't expect anything from you. If nothing else, then they hear music. That's what God did when he sent Jesus, and that's what Jesus did when he laid down his life. See, that outpouring of love should cause us to acknowledge what an awesome act of generosity it was, and we should accept that gift that was given to us. Accepting that generous gift is called salvation. You can accept that gift, and it will forever change your life. It will change your perspective. You can live for something bigger than yourself. But the opposite is also true. When someone is generous to us and we know that they are doing it only to manipulate us and are trying to get something out of us, that leads to mistrust. I think a lot of you guys came in here with mistrust. Like I said, the world's lied to you and has tried to manipulate you to earn something from you. Each of you has a higher purpose and calling than the one that you can live on your own. Through a saving relationship with Jesus, you can find that purpose and pursue it with passion. And with faith, knowing that you were designed for something great. That faith only comes from personally knowing Jesus. And that will cause your generosity to become activated. And the great thing is, as you exercise that faith, generosity will grow. And your faith will grow because you will see how faithful that God is. That things that you've given away, that he can replace. Can you imagine what kind of community we would have if generosity were fully functioning the way that God intended? People who don't know God's love would be receiving it through acts of kindness and generosity, and they would feel loved. And when they feel loved, they begin to search out for where that love came from. And what will they find? They'll find Jesus standing there. What would happen if God's people begin to be generous to the point of sacrifice and not just giving out of abundance? Would food pantries be empty? Would there be needy people on the street? Would people go hungry and not have shelter? And more importantly, would anyone fail to feel the love of Jesus? I'm messing up page here. So the goal of generosity is for us to show love to the world in a way that we don't expect anything back. And how we can do that is because we've accepted Jesus' gift for us, right? We've accepted His love. We've accepted His salvation. It's perfect in every way. And we want to give that to those around us. We want to do it without expectations. So some of us need to evaluate how generous we are being. Some of us need to evaluate whether or not we want to accept God's generosity by the fact that He sent Jesus to die for us. This is really important. Because if we're not generous with the people around us, if we're not generous with the world around us, people will not know God's love. It's an amazing opportunity that you guys have to partner with God. It's so amazing to think about. Like, I always feel so small when I'm in God's presence. Because I think about how big He is. Some people like to go out into nature, and they like to go on a mountaintop, and they can look out. And for a lot of people, that makes them... It's almost like a spiritual moment. It's like, God, You are so amazing that You created all this. Well, He also created all of you. And He created you with a purpose. He created you to be generous. He created you to be generous with that He's given you. Now again, you learn as you go along in your faith journey to trust God more, which allows you to be more generous. So I want everybody to bow their heads right now, if you would, please. One of the things that I'm trying to do with this message is I'm trying to reach those who have never accepted the love that Jesus has given. Now, I don't want to embarrass you, and I know people don't like to be embarrassed, and a lot of times people say this in a service. That's why I'm asking that everybody keeps their head down and their eyes closed. Because I want this to be a private moment. Hey, Dan, can you put some music on back there? I want this to be a private moment between you and me and God. And I say me only for the fact that I'm up in the front. I think it's important when we make any decision that somebody knows about it and can hold us accountable to that. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions here. I think, number one, the most important question I want to ask right now. Is there anybody here who feels that strong pulling that God's pulling on your heart, that, you know, there's been something missing in my life? You know, I've experienced the world's generosity. I know that they're after something from me. But I want to experience the generosity that doesn't expect anything from me. But I want to experience that love that Jesus came and died to give me. I want to accept Jesus into my life. And just like I talked about, having somebody be Lord over me. Again, that word Lord can come with some really negative connotations, but can also come with some great things. Number one, I become part of His kingdom. And I know that His kingdom will stand forever. I also know that in His kingdom I have unconditional love. I also know that if I'm a part of God's kingdom, I get to live forever with Him. I ask that you just raise your hand now. If that's something that's pulling on your heart, again, when I was young, I could feel times in my life when my heart began to beat fast and the tension that used to be inside me screaming out, saying, yes, I want to make that commitment, but yet the fear that was holding me back, I just encourage you to let go of that fear. If that's you, if you want to say, yep, God, I want You to come into my life, I'm willing to give You lordship over my life. I'm willing to trust You for those things, so that I might be generous to others. Just pray that You'd lift up your hands. Thanks. And the other portion that I want to talk to is for those of us, and I know there's a lot in this room, that we call ourselves Christians. How generous are you with what God's given you? How generous are you with your time? Is there people in your life that come to you and says, hey, can we talk, or can we go out for coffee sometime? You're like, oh, I'm just too busy. What about you see somebody on the street, like I see those guys with the signs? What if I give everything to that man that's in my wallet? And I'm not saying that I have to do that, but I'm saying I want to do that. And I want to do that because God's called me to be a blessing to those around me. Some of you might say, oh, well, he's just going to go spend it on something that's not good for him or he doesn't need. Well, the great thing is that's not my problem. That's God's problem. But if that man feels that love through me, he will begin to search out where that love came from. And like I said, when people begin to search out where that love came from, they find Jesus waiting there. So I'm going to ask and challenge you, Christian, to engage in being generous with those around you. Acts of random kindness can change somebody's day, can change somebody's life. Yes, it may cost you something. You may have to sacrifice an iced coffee one day. We are blessed beyond measure. If I have nothing else, I have my salvation. If I have nothing else, I have God's unconditional love. That should be all I need. So if you want to make a commitment tonight, just to be more generous with all that you have before me and before God, just lift up your hand. Thank you. Now, this is not just a one-time thing. I'm praying that God would really change your heart about this. Nothing God wants more than to love people, to reach people. And he partners with us to do that. He already came once and gave his life. Now he's asking us to sacrifice, to show that love. All right, I'm just going to close in prayer. When we're done, I'll be sitting up here, standing up here, if somebody wants to come talk to me about anything. If not, you can be released to go downstairs until 8 o'clock. I should see what time it is. It might be past 8. Oh, perfect. It's 8 o'clock. So after this, you can be released. Lord, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity that we have in this nation to come and praise your name, not be ashamed, not be scared. Father, I pray for those decisions that were made here today. Number one, for a commitment to you, to follow you, to earnestly seek you, to have faith and trust in you. I pray for those that maybe didn't respond, but yet you're stirring something in their heart. I pray that those people would begin to search for answers. Holy Spirit, that you would guide them and direct them to people who would love them. I pray for those people who call themselves Christians, myself included. God, I ask that you help us to be more generous. I ask that you help me to develop my faith and my trust in you, or that I can release the grips I have on my time and my money. And then I can just acknowledge the fact that you created everything. Everything's yours. And I need to give that freely away. Lord, help us as a people to be generous so we can show your love to a world that's dying and needs it. It needs you, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you for this evening. I pray for a blessing for all these teenagers here tonight, that your hand of protection would be upon them this week. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Is there anything you want to say?